Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, let me grab the headphones. I'll get dialed into the studio. Get these dogs to shut up. Oh, goodness. I better close the window or the neighbors are going to get mad. Hope the guests call in tonight. I wonder if anybody's going to call in. Well, let's do this thing.
It's Rated G Radio, and this is your host, Garrett Miller.
Hey, everybody, it's the Friday Night Dance Party, and of course, you know who this is. I'm your host, Garrett Miller, and we've got the coolest show for you tonight. It's been a couple of weeks since we've had a live music guest, but I've been promising you Joseph Eid is going to be coming on the show tonight for weeks and weeks and weeks, and tonight is the night. So we're really excited to have him on here for the full 2 hours tonight. This is kind of like you're behind the music from VH1, except it's on Rated G Radio. So we're going to talk to him. We're going to play his entire album from Human, which was recently released, and find out all of the inside dirt that you have been dying to know, and also talk about his music videos and all kinds of stuff like that. So as you're listening, and I have a bunch of you pinging me already on Facebook, John from Orange County, thank you very much. We got a couple of people from New York City I see on the Blog Talk studio. If you want to ask a question, just press the number one. Otherwise, I know you're just listening just for the heck of it. We got Wesley in Georgia, Marcus in, well, right here in Huntington Beach, Stephen in New Zealand, John up in Hollywood. We've got Tatiana in Whittier. We've got Eric in Mesa, Arizona. Davey in St. Louis, and the list goes on and on and on. So if you'd like a shout-out tonight, just send me a ping on Facebook or join us in the Blog Talk chat room, and it will be fun to welcome you, including Bill from upstate New York, who is joining the show right now as we speak. So without further ado, welcome to the show, Mr. Joseph. How are you tonight?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Friday night. I am so excited to have you on here. I'm so excited to be on. Well, I don't think people really realize the score we have in having you on the show tonight, because this is like, you know, winning the Oscars and Emmys and Grammys all in one, because you are kind of like the total package in entertainment, which we're going to talk all about in just a second. But I had the great privilege to meet Joseph probably about 2-3 months ago, something like that, when a mutual friend of ours, John Mark, invited us to go up to a club you were playing at with Dan Holguin, who has been on the show recently as well. And Joseph was playing all of this music, and I'm like, holy cow, does just like talent pour out of every pore of Hollywood? But clearly that's not the case. We were just lucky to have Joseph playing that night. And so for weeks and weeks and weeks, we've been, you know, talking back and forth, and finally he says, okay, I've got Friday the 22nd cleared. And I said, oh, bless your heart. Thank you so much. So that is why Joseph is here tonight, but we're going to find out his story, and we always say, and so much more, but it's, you know, it's really just finding out about who this great talent is.
We don't know where it's all going to go. We'll see.
We don't. It's always up in the air. Live show. There we go. And there's no seven-second thing, so if you want to swear, you can swear. I tend not to, because then I sound like I have Tourette's and I can't stop. So,
it is called G-rated, right?
It's rated G because of G for Garrett. That's the only reason I could remember the show. Otherwise, if it was rated, you know, rated M radio, I'd be like, what's the M for? I don't have any idea.
Well, it's
neither.
Funny because my 11-year-old niece, she's so cool. She's like, she's just a really good kid, way mature for age. But she's like texting me before the show. She's going, I want to listen in. And I go, oh, hon, why don't I send you the link when we're done? Because, you know, I don't know what I'm going to talk about. She's 11 years old, so. But it says it's G-rated, and I'm like, no, hon, that's just the name of the show, but I'll send you the link, I promise. So I'm like, I don't know if I want my little 11-year-old niece listening.
Well, you've got a couple of people who already want a shout-out from you tonight, and John the Cactus wants a shout-out, as does DeLorean, and then we've got some other guests in the chat room. So hello, everybody joining the show. Yeah.
See, your fan base is just on board. It's great to have everybody joining in, so I'm excited.
So where do you want to get started? Should we, for those of you who don't know, and I'm going to pretend that we didn't have lunch a few weeks ago at this amazing Thai restaurant where I kind of grilled
lunch.
You.
Thank you.
Great
that was
lunch.
Awesome.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Let's start at the beginning. Tell us about you and where you grew up and what family life is like and all that fun stuff, and then we'll get into music and TV and all the other things that you're involved in.
Well, I guess the best way to do it is, like, I hate starting at the beginning because it's kind of boring, so I like to backtrack. So basically, I live in L.A. now, but I moved here about 8 years ago from New York, where I mostly grew up in the suburbs, and I grew up in Westchester County, in a place called Edgemont, That's where I went to high school, a little bit of elementary school, and then I went to college at Stony Brook, which is the State University of New York. And then after that, I moved to New York City and just went for this, you know, just started doing my thing. But a lot happened in between that, you know, and my childhood was, you know, very much like, in many ways, much like everybody else's, but in a lot of ways, it's very different. You know, I have Lebanese-American parents, so I kind of grew up in a little bit of a strict kind of idealistic household where my parents never really thought that a career in entertainment is the way to go. You know, they didn't have an opportunity to get an education and stuff like that. They were immigrants, started, you know, from nothing. My mom works in retail. It's just, you know, they wanted, what they wanted for us was an education. They wanted us to be doctors and lawyers and engineers or whatever. And here I was, you know, saying, hey, I want to be in music, I want to be in acting and stuff like that. So it was interesting to grow up like that and feel like I had to kind of push a lot to kind of finally get my way. But in the end, parents understand and they let you do what you want to do. But, you know, they also have very strong opinions and they're your parents and they're paying for stuff. So you kind of have to listen to them.
You kind of have to listen to them. But you also have kind of a brilliant side behind you, and not to say that being an actor or a musician isn't brilliant, but you, when you were a student, you were really a star student. Can you talk a little bit about how that experience ended up shaping the direction that you ended up going?
Yeah, I mean, not to get into too much of like the child psychology stuff, but like, you know, growing up, I did love to sing and dance and do all kinds of, you know, expressive things, but it wasn't super encouraged. And I was kind of more encouraged to just do, you know, whatever, study and do things like play sports or whatever. So I felt like I kind of stunted that early on. I didn't really pursue it or just feel like really safe kind of going in that direction fully. So I would do, you know, school plays and school musicals and stuff, but always know that that was just kind of a hobby. So, yeah, I studied a lot and knew, I was like, okay, I'm going to have to go to college because that's what you do. Neighborhood I grew up in and kind of the area was like everybody was just went to college. I mean, it was like 90% of the class went to college. So I went to school. I was going to be a psychologist. That was my main thing. That was the second thing. You know, like music and the arts is my passion, but I also love psychology, and I was passionate about that too. So I majored in psych and pre-med. And pretty much, you know, did pretty well, actually. Took my MCAT and actually ended up applying to medical schools after college. And after my first semester, I kind of had an awakening. I was like, I'm not doing this for me. And I don't know who this person is. I don't know how I ended up here, but I know what my heart wants, and I know what, like, where I vibrate at my highest frequency, and that's when I'm being an artist. And I kind of had this awakening my second semester. I was there for a week studying microbiology. I'll never forget it. And my mind started going. I started thinking, what if I could do whatever I wanted in my life? And, you know, I was like 22 at the time, thinking, it's too late. Oh, my God, I haven't been doing it. You know, like, even when you're young, you think you're too old.
It's
so weird. You always think you're too old for stuff. It's like it's such an illusion, you know. We talked about this during lunch too, and but yeah. So I kind of just started rolling with this thought process. I thought, like, in the end, nobody really cares. Like, you think people care so much, but you got to remember, like, everybody cares about their life too, and they have their own stuff to deal with. So it's your responsibility to do what it is that's in your heart. It's actually, I believe, it's why we're here, you know. So to deny yourself that is to deny yourself life. I mean, what's the point? If you have the I call it a luxury to choose what you want to do with your life, and many people don't have that luxury. But many people are probably listening to the show, or probably did or do or will at some point. And for me, that was kind of that moment of enlightenment where I was like, you got to do this. It doesn't matter how far you can take it, but it's what you want to do. And you got to do it. So basically, the next day, I went to my student advisor at med school, and I said, I got to take a leave of absence because I don't feel well. because I just couldn't explain everything to him. He would have just thought I was nuts. And I said, you know, I'm not well. I feel anxious. I have all this stuff going on, and I need a leave of absence to think about my life. They granted me a leave of absence because it was kind of an easier way to leave. It wasn't so final. And then I went back to New York, and within a couple months, I moved to New York City. And, you know, joined a boy band, got into theater, started acting, and that's, you know, cut to, you know, got here 8 years ago.
And here we are present day.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
yeah. And
yeah.
You know what? It's like before I called in, it's so funny, I'm just like, I whipped out my CD just to refer to during the show, and I just thought, you know, there's nothing I would do differently. Like, I'm whatever that little voice was that gave me the courage to take that step and face everybody in my life and my family and say, I'm sorry. I just wanted to play a doctor on TV. I really didn't want to be a doctor. Like, that was a big thing, you know? And whoever that guy was who in me, who pushed me to do that, I'm grateful because I have no regrets. And I'm really happy that I didn't go down that path because I would be kind of a resentful person right now.
And what did you end up doing?
Oh, when I came back?
Yeah, well, you played a doctor on TV.
Well, yeah, I funny enough, I actually, when I moved to Manhattan, I started, you know, taking voice lessons and, you know, playing guitar and like I said, I joined the boy band, but then I, you know, did this musical and then I got into this theater company. So then after that, I started acting and, alongside the music, and then the acting started to kind of take a lot of its own. I definitely did a bunch of parts, and I'm very proud to say I was on a couple of TV shows, and it was pretty awesome. It was like I never thought that would happen, you know. It was a lot of hard work and a lot of auditions and callbacks and producer sessions were heavy, but I'll never forget the day that I had gone in for like the fifth audition to Law and Order, which is like if you live in New York and you're an actor, that's the show you want to get on. It's kind of like earning your wings, sort of.
Sure.
So that I remember just going in, like it was like straight to producers, and it was like another cop role, like six lines. And I was like, okay, here we go again. And I got it, and that was pretty awesome. You know, I did some other stuff in New York. Like I had a recurring thing on Guiding Light. I played a bartender at like 8 episodes or something. It's cool. And did like a show called Conviction. And then actually, that's acting moved me out here. Like, because at that point, I thought, okay, music I can do anywhere. So I can keep doing music if I move to LA. But then I was advised, like, okay, you know, you're at an age where it's probably good for you to check out LA and see what it has to offer. And I thought, okay, I probably wouldn't mind living in this kind of climate anyway. So, and I never really, as an adult, lived anywhere besides New York. So I thought, you know, let's go to LA and just continue everything over there. And then when I moved here, it became clear to me that I just wanted to do music. After a few years, I just transitioned mainly to doing music.
And there you go. Well, let's take a quick break and start jumping into your album, Human, which is available on iTunes and wherever fine music is sold. We're going to start out with the first song on the album. It's called Ready Now. And, Joseph,
yeah,
can you tell us a little bit about this song and what your inspiration was behind this?
Sure. This makes me smile so much. I don't know why. But Ready Now is, you kind of have to take the song with, you know, a little tongue-in-cheek because it can be a little creepy if you don't. But it's just about, you know, being a little bit obsessed with somebody and really, really wanting them after they broke your heart, but also making a decision that you're never going to give up until you get them. And, you know, that's I'm not going to say too much. Maybe we'll talk about it after, but that's basically the gist of it. I think everybody out there has that one person that they felt that way about.
There we go. And in the chat room it says, did the show take calls? Yes, we will take calls. Chat room or listeners, if you're out there, and we'll take some calls after we play a couple of songs. We're going to play Ready Now and then follow that up with the title track, Human. We'll be back after that, and if you want to call in and ask Joseph a question, keep it clean. 323-657-1493 is the hotline, and we'll be back in just a couple minutes.
working hard for you, but he's all that you wanted. I grew so many little hearts for you, but they died unattended. But I've been watching you feel close lately, been working out at your gym, and I've been talking to all your friends to tell me that you broke up with him. I think you're ready now, I think you're ready now, I think you're ready to love me. I think you're ready now, I think you're ready now, I think you're ready to love me. The secret laws of attraction, baby, I made a school out of them. I built my vision boards as high as heaven, I stuck you all over them. And my obsession never really died, it just grew silently stronger. And I won't rest until I make you mine, it ain't gonna take much longer. I think you're ready now, I think you're ready now, love me. I think you're ready now, you're ready now, I think you're ready to love me. All the time I saw you together, it drove me mad, but I had to make it, and I smiled, but I couldn't take it. Are you ready now, are you ready now? Now he's gone and I'm feeling better.
And I learned how to pray, 'cause I here on earth with no heaven or hell. And when I die, yeah, I got enough time to be an angel. Don't wanna levitate, don't wanna be a mystic, a monk or a saint. I just wanna run free on my bare feet, play under the sun and swim in the sea, and take you off to that moonlit tree. We'll bite from that apple 'cause it tastes so.
We've got Joseph Eid on the show tonight. That's the title track for his album, Human, the song's Human. And we've got a bunch of people in the chat room causing all kinds of commotion. And Danimal wants a shout-out to Indie Artist of the Year, Dwight McClanahan. So shout-out there. And John's also wanted a shout-out to Dwight. So two shout-outs to Dwight, and you're good to go. Ooh. So, Joseph, we're back. So tell us about Human. Where did that come from, and why did you decide to make that the title track for the album?
It seemed like a good title. When I wrote the song, I thought it's right when I was done with the song, I thought, okay, this is going to be the name of the album. The song, I'm sure, speaks for itself for listening. It's just, I think for me, the whole year I was recording this was a big year for me of just self-acceptance and kind of just finally having the courage. You know, I think this comes in waves, we're always doing it, but just the courage to fully accept who I am every single way, every desire I have, everything I ever want to do, who I am, where I'm from, everything, what I like, what I don't like, how I feel, and I think that's just the kind of idea behind the song. I had a friend who's a spiritual healer, and I'll never forget this. He kind of inspired me to write this song, because he met with him once, and he just looked at me and said, stop trying to be a Buddha and just be a human being, because the human experience is amazing. It's so wonderful. And so many people in this world spend their whole lifetime trying to prepare for another world. And I think growing up, you know, many of us grew up in homes and in environments where we heard about concepts of heaven and hell and God and sin and you can't do this, and no sex before marriage, and if you're like this, you're wrong, and all this stuff really takes its toll on you, and for a long time, it takes a long time to kind of unlearn it, and then to come up with your own truth, and I think it took me a very long time to have the courage to kind of be like, okay, well, what works for me? What really works for me, you know? And that's kind of what the song is about. It's like, you know, I just want to be human. Let me live like one here on earth with no heaven or hell. You know, it's like I just want to be a freaking human being. I want to feel and I want to love and I want to just be happy and not have these, you know, judgmental thoughts in my head. I mean, it's all judgment, really. And it's not to put down anything that anybody believes in. We all believe it, probably want to, but I just feel like it's important to question the things you were taught. And to reach a point and say, well, this is my life. What do I think is right? You know? So.
Well, and it's a big struggle, I think, for you, too, because it sounds like, you know, growing up, you, in, I'll probably say this incorrectly, so I apologize, but you sounded like you were a little bit of a pleaser, I think, as we all try to be, to get the approval of your mom and dad or your family. You know, first from sports, from school, and, you know, and then maybe, you know, not necessarily saying, you know, hey, I want to be, you know, the star of the play, or I want to be, you know, this or that or the other thing, because I want to make sure mom and dad are happy because they're doing so much for me already, you know.
And it's, and that starts a cycle, you know, and it kind of just starts you going down this sort of, you know, and I was a middle child, and I think, I don't know, my whole thing growing up was keeping the peace with everything, not rocking the boat. You know, not doing anything that shocks anybody, or kind of keeping everybody happy. And yeah, it's. I mean, that stuff is all good. It's a good skill to have in life, but it also can really stunt you creatively and silence you.
So I need to backtrack here, because as I now know you as this brilliant musician and actor and singer and all around just amazing soul, how did you decide that, A, I'm going to start, you know, carrying a tune and whistling and doing things like that, to picking up an instrument and deciding which instrument you're going to play? But you do so much. How did you can you take us back to the genesis of that?
Sure, definitely. I one of the gifts that, you know, I feel like we all are given, like, one gift where we're like, okay, this is one thing we know how to do easily. For me, that was poetry. That's kind of taking a song idea or a concept and putting it into song. That's something that I've been doing since I was 5 years old. It's just, it's a desire, and it's something that I enjoy thoroughly, and it's just a part of my being. So I'll never forget, at like 5 years old, I remember writing something or just coming up with something, and my parents had a dinner party, and I asked my dad if I could read it to all their friends.
Wow.
And it's just, it's such a deep memory, but it was just this feeling of wanting to share something that I put down on paper, you know, or maybe I was 6 or something, I don't know. But I was super young. It's one of my earliest memories. And then that kind of stayed that way. Like, it's just like the way I look at the world, the way I see things. I like to, you know, kind of, I write every single day of my life. I always have. So that's one of the things that kind of came naturally. I always loved to sing. I was never one of those kids who everybody said, oh my God, you're like one of those prodigy singers, you should go on American Idol or this show or that show or Star Search or whatever. That wasn't me. I was not one of those kids. I was a kid that liked to sing, that was in the chorus in high school, that had a decent voice and could carry a tune, but really loved singing, you know? So I knew that I wasn't like the greatest singer in the world. I wasn't born singing. Like, that was not my thing. But I knew I really loved it, and I knew that I had a voice, and I knew that if I developed my voice, that it could really be a tool for me to use as an artist, as a vehicle to share my art, you know. So when I moved to New York City, that's why I started taking voice lessons, because I knew I'd never really had any technical training, and I wanted to be good at what I did, you know. So I studied with Mary Peening, who was a great teacher. She taught at Amba, but I studied with her privately for a few years, and it was great, really helped me a lot. And I started doing musical theater, but I'm always learning something, you know. I just think you never should stop studying with great people, no matter what level you reach. And I think with being a singer-songwriter, it's not like you have to have a specific kind of voice. You just have to have your voice and be comfortable with your voice. And
how did you find yours?
And really fine-tune it.
How did you find yours?
It's been years of just like peeling the layers, and honestly, it all feeds, everything feeds everything. Like, the technique is one thing. Like, it's important to know technique and to know how to control your voice and kind of get the best out of your voice. Mm-hmm. But mostly, I think what the technique is for me is to protect my voice, so that when I am on the road playing 2 weeks, you know, almost a show every night for like an average of 2 to 3 hours a night, that I don't get hoarse or lose my voice. And that's really what the technique does. But as far as finding your true voice, I think it just comes from singing. Just keep doing it in front of people, have as much experience as possible, and then, because it's really just about being yourself. So if you can truly be yourself in front of anybody, then when you sing, your true voice will shine in front of anybody, you know, in front of anybody and everybody, because you're being an authentic person. So I feel like a spiritual journey, like being aware, just being conscious of everything you're doing, pushing yourself harder, all that stuff leads to you, quote-unquote, finding your voice. You know, I just feel like it's not more like finding, it's like rediscovering your voice. It's like kind of peeling off the layers to really let the voice come out, you know, let the true essence of the voice come out.
So what about instruments? I know that you, you do a whole bunch of things, but you started doing a couple of things. When you moved out to L.A., I think you had a very instrumental mentor that was in your life for a period of time.
Yes. Oh, that's right, yes. Guitar is my instrument, and I'm happy to say that I'm really glad I chose that instrument. Because now it's just it's kind of like another appendage of my body. I feel like if I don't touch it at least once a day, like something bad's gonna happen. So, I picked up the guitar when I was actually in New York. I was like in my early mid 20s, and it's funny because at that time I thought, you know, okay, I could sing, I could write, but I'm like, you know, you really need an instrument because I don't really want to, you know, I need an instrument to write on.
Sure.
I never thought I'd be as good of a guitar player as I am now. I never thought that I would take it this far. I thought, okay, I just need to pick up an instrument so I can know the basics. But what happens is if you're passionate about something and you just want to keep going deeper into it. But, yeah, meeting David Lamar in L.A. was a game changer for me with the guitar, because when I moved out here, I played well enough to, this is 8 years ago, I played well enough to be able to accompany myself on the songs that I had written. But it was very basic, you know, some finger picking and some strumming stuff. And it was pleasant, but I wasn't doing anything crazy, you know, with the guitar. And then I met him, and I was at an open mic, and he was hosting it. He was probably one of the greatest players in Los Angeles at the time. He had just moved here. He was like a blues player and an original singer-songwriter, incredible. And he invited me to come up and played my songs, and he accompanied me, never having heard any of my songs. And I thought this guy was a magician.
Wow.
I looked at him and I went, how are you doing this? He's playing solos on my songs, and we're jamming together. And all he's doing is once in a while he'd just look at my fingers, and he would hear, obviously, the key that I was playing the song in, and he kind of predicted where the structure would go. It was incredible. I got off stage. He just walks up to me, and he just gives me his card, and he goes, if you want to take things to the next level, give me a call. And I was like, yep, I'll be calling this guy, because it was one of those nights, it was kind of those nights where, you know, you feel like sometimes you walk into a place and you go, I feel like this entire night was set up just for me. Like, it was one of those things where I'm like, I pushed myself to go to this night, even though I was kind of like nervous about going, because it said, you know, only amazing players welcome, da da da. And I'm like, well, yeah, whatever, I'll just go hang out. I didn't think I would actually end up playing. But everything kind of pointed to work with this guy, and I had the pleasure of studying with him for about 3 years. And the main reason he was a game changer for me, he taught me a lot about music theory and guitar, of course, but the main thing was that he convinced me that I didn't need another guitar player. In fact, he was really furious with me when I said that once. I said, oh, you know, I'm probably just going to work with band, and I'll be the front guy, you know, my band, I'll write the songs. And he just went, why the hell would you hire a guitar player when you can do it just as well? And I'm like, but I'm not. And he was like, no, you got a lot of work to do, and you'll get there. And he passed away a few years ago. He got cancer. He died, unfortunately.
Oh,
it was
so
a huge loss, but I'm so, so happy that I got a chance to have him in my life, and I really feel like he's a part of my life now. You know, he changed my mind is what he did, and you know, I feel very comfortable with the guitar. I can't imagine having someone else play my songs for me now. So, it's wonderful. You know, you just, I've been blessed to have some really great teachers in my life and mentors, and, you know, I think that's another purpose of life. We have to teach what we learn.
There we go.
I love to share information with people younger than me also, who, you know, are also growing. So,
And Joseph, it looks like we might have a call here.
Okay.
And I'm going to say might have a call because it looks like it's coming in from a weird way on my call screen. So we're going to try this out.
Uh-oh.
And, well, you know, it's live radio, so we just roll the dice sometimes. Yeah, it's going to be some aliens or something like that. Anyway, so let's see. We got somebody in the chat room who we're going to mute. And so they are hopefully off the show now. And we'll get rid of them. Okay, there we go. You know, we just say nice things here. So if you don't say anything nice, we don't say anything at all. Okay, we're going to try this, and we're going to say, caller, welcome to Rated G Radio. You've got Joseph Eid on. What would you like to ask him?
Yeah, how many times do you put a cactus in your ass every night?
Okay, well, there we go. Fun times with, you know.
My God.
You never know. Okay, so there we go. So
wow.
Let's go.
Okay.
I know. So what a better way to
lovely. Hey, we're out there all being who we are. That's great.
Exactly. There we go. So we're going to play Hit Me Up, which is the next song off of your album, Human. And we'll be back after that and Something Real. Hang on, everybody.
I would love to spin you round and round on my dance floor. I know how you love to spin your mind before you let go. Don't let indecision make you cold. It'll hold you up and fold you up and make you grow old. But I'm gonna make it easy. You know you got me. Don't make it hard. Too shy to walk in my door, but I know all your hesitation, cause I've been there before. Don't let indecision waste your time. Stop resisting your indecision. Come meet mine. Make a decision. You know you got. Thank you.
say I don't communicate, but I only like to speak from my soul. You say things with your words, but you never say them with your eyes. And I guess that's how this story goes. You're like a robot, 1, 2, 3. You read books on how you should feel. You got a gifted mind, but it ain't connected to your heart. And I wonder sometimes if you're real. But maybe it's your generation and your sexist conversation, and you love me so. My sweet time, I don't spill it all out like cheap wine. You got to earn this love degree. Yeah, you do. And baby, it's like alienation when your sex are conversations, and you love me so.
Problem with emotion. I just don't like to rub it all over like lotion.
You say I don't communicate, but I think there's a time, there's a place. You sent me a real cute YouTube and you put it all up on Twitter too, but baby this bird needs some space. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And maybe it's your generation and your texts are conversations, and you love me so, so strong on your iPhone, and I only said if I need it, and I get close so you feel it. My words may be far between.
Something real. We're going to talk about that in just a second, but we've got an actual real caller, not somebody who is, you know, all freaked out. But this is Kelly from New York calling in. Kelly, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you, Garrett? Great to hear you.
I'm doing
you,
awesome. Yeah. Good to hear
and
you,
I
too.
Wanna,
we got Joseph on the line.
Thank you. I just want to introduce myself to you, Joseph. My name is Kelly Karavitis. I'm from New York. I'm an actor and a writer and a comedian and a pretty decent friend of Mr. Garrett's. And I just want to congratulate you on your music. I was just completely blown away by your sound. It's the first time I've ever heard you. And first of all, congratulations.
Well, thanks, man. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Joseph, we're having
just,
a little bit of hard time hearing you right now, too.
Okay. Is this better?
A little bit.
Better?
Yeah, I
it's
can't
almost,
hear
now
you.
We're going to do the we're going to do the Verizon commercial for. Can you hear me now?
Okay. Can you hear me now?
There we go.
There we go.
Much better,
yep.
Much better. Okay.
I apologize, but I entered the program a little late because I had some technical difficulties here in New York on my computer. But I have a question. I hope it wasn't asked already, but if perchance it was, I hope you don't mind answering it. When did you have your aha moment? Because without giving you my entire bio, I entered show business very late. I was also a people pleaser early on in my life, and I...
Yeah.
When did it happen for you? Was it, you want mind talking about that a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. I talked about it a little bit, but it was basically my second semester in med school. I was 22 years old, and thought, you know, it's too late for me to go into this. But it was an overpowering awakening moment that I just basically was like, I couldn't deny it. And I had to basically and just move to New York City and follow my dreams. So I said to anybody, and I know now I look back and I think, wow, that's really young, but I said, anybody who has a dream, it doesn't matter how old, it's kind of your responsibility and it's our duty to make it happen. So
right.
It's never, ever too late to learn an instrument, to follow your dream, to fill what you think you were put on this planet to do.
Well, that's great. I want to ask you, who would you say were your influences in music? Like when you were a listener more than a performer,
yes. Yes.
Who was the one that spoke to you insofar as influencing you in your style? Can you point some people out?
Yes. Actually, it's such a fusion. I had such a diverse taste in music that I think that's what kind of like, that's what makes my sound what it is, because it's kind of a folky sound, which is a little bit poppy. So I grew up listening as a kid to, Prince, Michael Jackson, George Michael, all these guys, Madonna. But I also was a huge fan of the Indigo Girls, and they were like my first real musical heroes, basically. I thought their songwriting was brilliant. I thought their harmonies were just so on target, and just the things that they sang about. And it seemed like every song was kind of a lesson. And the older I would get, I'd go back and listen to the songs, and I'd get different levels of them. And I thought, wow, this is kind of, if I ever did music, I would want my music to have that kind of influence. And I mean, they've had a huge, huge career, and they're still putting out records like 25, 30 years later. So just to name a few, those were early on people that I was listening to, Billy Joel, singer-songwriters, Elton John, and then later just,
So I could tell. I could,
six-piece guys.
I could tell from your beautiful music, both lyrics and music itself, that you are definitely a lyricist at heart, because I love your lyrics.
Yeah.
They're beautiful.
Yeah. Thank you.
They're very soothing. I mean, I'm one of your certified newest fans, I just want to say. Congratulations. I have to tell you, I had another question. What was it? Oh, earlier in the interview, you were talking about poetry, and wow, that is very inspiring, because just this morning I was talking to a mutual friend of Garrett's and mine, Lester Green. He's a wonderful actor friend of mine here in New York who's been at it for a very short time but having much success. And he's also a rapper. He's been doing music for quite a few years. And we were doing FaceTime on my iPhone. I rarely do it, but I was too lazy to hold the phone against my ear. And I was reading some of my poems. I've been writing poetry for about 20 years. So I don't know. I don't want to make this about me, but I guess it's not too late for me to become a singer someday.
Absolutely.
If I'm a poet, if I'm a poet, because I have a book of poems I've been writing for years.
That's beautiful. And, you know, that poetry, like, needs to be shared because, you know, it's like one thing to actually feel pleasure from writing it, and then
right.
it's a whole other thing to share it because that's when it's officially born. So it's kind of, you know, again, no matter, we don't know how far any of us are going to take anything in life. That's not really up to us. But what we have to do is we have to let it go and, you know, let people, give people an opportunity to have it. You know,
well, and Joseph, not to play Facebook or Blog Talk matchmaker here, but Kelly is a filmmaker and producer and does movies, so maybe there might be an opportunity to contribute music or performance or something like that in the future. So,
talk
amongst
I'm
yourself.
I'm glad you said that.
Okay.
Yeah, Garrett, I'm so glad you said that. He's definitely a people connector, but I listened to your music, I mean, this evening for the last half hour, and I could just visualize in my director's eye that this is either when the titles are ending or during the during a show.
Awesome.
But allow me to just say once again, congratulations on all your work, and I'm really, really inspired by making this connection and listening to you. And thank you very much. I mean, it's just really quite beautiful. You're on the right track, and I like to tell people this. People in show business that I know in the acting world that, you know, it's very, very hard what we do because I don't want to use the word competition because that's like a zero-sum game.
Mm-hmm.
I believe in original vision and original talent. But I think I'm preaching to the choir. You know, Garrett knows, I know, Lester knows, many of my friends know that this business will eat you up if you try to adhere to preconceived notions, and I think
Absolutely.
The magic comes out when you do something original like what you've done.
Yeah.
And once again, most sincere congratulations to you. I'm really very, very happy
Thank
to
you, man. Thanks
have
so
met
much
you.
For calling in and joining in the conversation. That was really cool to hear from you. And
thank you,
know,
again.
I hope
hey.
We'll talk again sometime.
Thanks, Killing.
Thank you, Garrett.
Hey, go find him on Facebook, and then you know, offer him a song or three on your next movie project.
Okay. Congratulations, Joseph.
Thank you,
Garrett.
Talk to you later.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
So, Joseph, let's go back to the song we heard right before Kelly was calling, and it's called Something Real. You did a music video for this that was really kind of fun, and if you haven't seen this on YouTube, it's something that's out there, obviously, you know, for anybody to go take a look at. Can you tell us a little bit about the video and your inspiration behind that?
Yeah. Something Real is actually a true story. It's the idea for the song came from dating in the 21st century, I guess you could say. It's we've all become victim of it. I've done it myself, so it's not like I'm singing the song about someone else, so to speak. Although it was inspired by someone else, I find that I've played that role too, where we sometimes find it much easier to have intimate moments over text messages or through Facebook or digitally, through emails, whatever the case may be, and not face-to-face. And I think it's a cop-out. I think it's it only hurts the relationship in the end because so much is said not face-to-face. I'm sorry if you tell someone you love them over text for the first time, it does not count. You don't. That's just a no. But so it was that idea of just kind of, you know, someone really loving you a lot when they're apart from you with a text and saying all kinds of things they would never say in person to your face. And then when you're face-to-face, it's kind of a whole different energy, you know, even though you're together. So. And then the video idea came from, originally wanted to do a video about me actually turning into a robot as the video went on, like this machine taking over my body and me kind of looking at my appendages and seeing wires coming out. And then I thought, okay, what I want to do is going to cost way too much money, and I can't really afford to do that without, like, a huge filmmaker behind it. So second best thing was an incredible photographer, videographer, my friend Jacopo Manfred, who is an amazing photographer and director, and he actually took pictures of my album for me. He offered to do a video for me, so I had a meeting with him. And I said, this is what I want to do, but how can we portray this message with a small budget, and then we kind of together came up with this idea of having me emote to all these models and people who are kind of lifeless and soulless, and having them just staring into space, and me just being kind of the only quote-unquote human in the video.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the end, there's a twist. So I won't give away the twist, but...
No, you got to go watch it.
So you got to watch it.
Watch it.
Yeah. So there's a couple other videos on there for other songs on the album. There's a video for Human and a video for Ready Now, and they're both animated. And Something Real is a live-action one. And I can't thank the cast and crew enough for coming together for that one day, and just so much talent, passion, and, you know, almost no budget. The video looks fantastic, so couldn't be happier.
Yeah, it looks great. Well, speaking about people that you want to thank and, congratulate, do you have any special people that helped you out with
Absolutely.
Your album, Human?
Absolutely. I mean, this album, I said I can get into my car, and it's, this album was released at the end of November of 2013. But I can still get into the car. I put in the album, and I listen to it, and I'm so happy to hear it. Not because I'm a narcissist and I love my own music. It's because, you have to like your own music, but I love everything about this album and all the wonderful people who played on it. Because I have some of the best musicians playing on this album with me, and I just love to listen to the whole kind of combination of everything. Firstly, Brian Soucy, who is an incredible engineer and co-producer. He co-produced this with me. So it was basically him and I worked on this, putting it together. But he and his partner, Karen Tobin, who is an incredible songwriter and producer herself, they own a studio in Sherman Oaks, so I recorded in their studio. And she and him just had access to some amazing musicians, like, Deborah Dobkin, Vern Monet, Jennifer Condos, Leah Seeger, who I actually met through my friend Dennis. She plays the strings on the album. Incredible. Lynn Coulter, Steve Nelson, Bobby Crew, Rob Larkin, who's a great friend of mine, actually. I came in and did some things also on guitar. So you hear a lot of wonderful musicians, the dobro, the pedal steel, the drum and bass, the keys, the strings. It's just all there, and it's some of LA's best players. So thank you to everyone, who played on this record, and the background singers, and like my friend Elsie Jones, who sang on a couple songs, Craig Stoll, Cannon Tobin, CeCe Treadway, Allison Koster, Leah Seeger also sang back up. So, this was kind of like definitely a little village to kind of get this album going. No corners were cut, so this is...
Well, let's get back to it here. I mean, we've only got an hour left, and I say only having an hour left, but we've still got a ton of music that we still need to play and want to play for everybody. So as we're getting ready to reach the 8 o'clock hour here, we're going to do a three-peat. That'll be The Rock, Take a Breath, and Rain, and we'll be back after these three. So everybody just sit back and enjoy the music, and we'll be back in three songs.
My mother, I loved her the most. Tell my father, I know he did his best. Tell my love, who broke my heart, I never stopped loving. She should have been a poet. And tell my brother how guilty I felt when I ran off from home to chase all my dreams, but I left him back there to pick up the pieces. They say that don't look back, we'll make it. Tell the mailman, I'm sorry, but I forgot to give him this Christmas card. You know it's sitting on my shelf along with everybody else's in my dusty pile of good intentions. Yeah, yeah. Focus on here, focus on now, focus on freedom, focus on love, focus on your third eye, focus on the light, focus on peace, breathe it inside. Take a breath in, take a breath out, take a breath in, take a breath out, take a breath in, take a breath out. Take a breath out. I've been living long, come from centuries ago. I've been trying to let go. I've been trying to let go. I've been living long, come from centuries ago. I've been trying to let go. I've been trying to let go. Take a breath in. Take a breath out. Take a breath in. Take a breath out. Take a breath out. Take a breath
behind your medicine. When I kissed you, I felt a thousand lifetimes rushing through me. We can live in separation now. We pretend we're free. But I'm dreaming of just one nation, yeah. Baby, you and me and I. I love the sound of your foreign tongue when you call my name. I feel at home when I'm flying on an airplane. Ooh, 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 can you feel me passing through the land? I'm coming down like rain, just like I won't miss you, baby, when you're fired, you know. I just close my eyes, and I fly right to where you are. Can you feel me on the right? Don't miss me, baby, don't miss me, baby, when I'm far away. Just look up to the sky and feel me coming. Of your foreign tongue when you call my name, and I'm flying on an airplane. Ooh, ooh, I say, can you feel me passing through when I'm coming down just like pain, yeah, 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 just like rain, just like.
And that's Joseph Eid with Rain from his album Human. And Joseph is our special guest star on the Friday Night Dance Party tonight. He's here for the 2 full hours. And we are going back to, well, I want to go back and talk about what went into making Human. I know you thanked a bunch of very talented people right before the break, but how did you decide you were ready to start work on something so massive? Because this is a big undertaking for you.
Thank you. More than a year of working on something, and that's how long it takes.
Wow. Right.
And yeah, once you get started, it's just too late to turn back. It's one of those things. And I knew that with this album, I wasn't taking shortcuts. So like, I knew I was not going to leave the studio or, you know, put out anything until I was 100% happy. So that kind of attitude, you know, makes it kind of go longer too, but I'm happy we did that. But basically, you know, I just decided, I had done an EP early on in 2008, and that was my first, you know, kind of professional release. It was called Cardiac Output. And it had been a while, and I had been writing and growing, and it was, you know, just such a huge evolution in music. And I'd written, you know, like a bunch of new songs, and it was just time, you know, when it's time. And something worth mentioning, which is fun for any writers that are out there, my friend Circe, who's a great friend of mine, who's a singer songwriter, she challenged me to a songwriting challenge. This was about maybe a year before I did the album. And she said, I want to challenge you to writing 20 songs in one day. And I was
holy
like, that's
cow.
Crazy. How do you write 20 songs in one day? And you're a writer, you know, you're an artist. You just go like, how do you do that? She goes, well, it's this exercise. It's just a fun game. Basically, you wake up at, you know, 8 a.m., you get a buddy, a partner, and you're each in your home, your space, wherever you're working, and you write one song every half hour and take a break for lunch and get back. But every 30 minutes, you've got to move on. You've got to move on. So what it does is actually make you tap into a part of your subconscious, which is really the gold where we as singer-songwriters love to go to that place. And, you know, we get there every now and then. But when you do an exercise like this, after a few songs, you just start to not think anymore. And you start to just spew stuff. It comes out of you, and you're doing chord progressions that you wouldn't ever think of doing because you're not thinking about it. Your words are coming out of you. You're going, why am I even saying this? And then you're on the floor rolling around and tapping on the floor and writing a song with just percussion or a cappella or whatever. So
needless to say, the whole reason I'm telling this story is that four of the songs on Human came from that day.
Really?
And, yeah, four of those songs. Now, that day, they were just a verse and a chorus. And, of course, all the lyrics weren't set in stone. The melodies changed maybe a little bit. But those songs were born on that day, the beginnings of them. And those songs are Ready Now, Human, Greatest Lesson, and Take a Breath. And I always tell my friend, I'm so grateful that you made me do that. So after I had, you know, done that exercise, and I had already had, like, at least 15 songs to pick from, I just sat down and thought, okay, what are the songs that really need to be recorded? And, yeah, I'd been playing all these songs out, and everybody, you know, once in a while people say, well, do you have a recording of this? I'd say, no, no, not yet. It's coming, it's coming. So I thought, it's time. And then I met Brian Susie, who I worked with, and I told him, I said, I want to do this, and I don't know how to start, because it's, like you said, it's such a huge, like, how do you start? And I decided the best way to start is to do acoustic recordings of all the songs. So we did, it started at 11, so we did acoustic, just my guitars and my vocals, and then in the middle of the process, I wrote another song, which is the Rock Reprise, which is song number 10.
I think 10, yeah, and we're going to be hearing that again in just a second, too.
What's that?
So, and we'll be hearing that in just a couple of minutes as well. Yeah, so, yeah.
In just a few minutes. So it's, yeah, so like, you know, sometimes when you're working on a project, you end up inspired and you write something else. And then I just went back to the studio and I said, well, this is called the Rock Reprise. It's a reprise to the Rock, which is a song on the album. And I said, this has got to be on the album, so I've got to make it happen. And it was, and then it turned 12 songs. But, you know, the greatest thing is that you just have to start. You know, you just have to start. And then it leads you. It's got a life of its own. It wants to be born, so it will show you where to go.
So, but as a songwriter, though, do you start, I mean, how do you pick, the topics that you're going to write about? I mean, for me, as an example, and I think I've shared this with you, know, I'm not one to write, like, love songs, because I'm not the syrupy, sappy type of whatever, but I love trying to find things that are going to be, hopefully, inspirational or motivational or, you know, Tony Robbins-ish.
Yes.
And that's what I enjoy doing. So, you know, sitting down to find out, you know, okay, what do I really want to say today? You know, that takes on an entirely different meaning than versus I'm going to sing a song about, you know, love and passion or whatever. So how did you come up with the 12 songs that comprise Human?
There was no formula. To be honest with you, I wish there was, because if there was, I would take that thing and I would plug away at it every day. But there just isn't. Like, it's kind of, songs come to me like, how can I put it? Like, what's a good analogy? They're just like these gifts, and they come. And I know they come from writing a bunch of songs that you don't care for. It's like you earn the good song, because it's just that thing about it, writing. But they come from everywhere. I mean, obviously from relationships are very inspiring to me. My own relationships and relationships that I witness. Sometimes, you know, a friend will, I'm kind of one of those people to a lot of my friends that just like to talk to me. They tell me everything. So it's all fair game. I just reuse it. No, I'm just kidding. But, I mean, it inspires me. Sometimes something else that somebody's going through, I just go, wow, like, this is deep. And, you know, and then that inspires me to write a song. Personal experience, like you said, you're into a lot of kind of like self-discovery stuff, and that tends to be what you write about. Well, I think we write about what we know and who we are. So whatever path I'm on, you know, like when I wrote Ready Now, I was feeling, you know, we change our moods every day. It's like I was feeling that vibe, and I was thinking about somebody and going, I kind of want to write a song like this. And then, you know, I learn a lesson about life or something, and I go, wow, I want to write a song about this. And sometimes, in the best way this can possibly, the best songs come this way, is that I'm just sitting down with my guitar, and I start singing gibberish. I don't even know what I'm singing, but it's coming out. I record it, and I go, I don't know why I said these lines, but I'm going to go with it. And then it starts to build, and it's almost like I go, oh, that's what this song is going to be about.
There you go.
It's kind of like my subconscious telling me what I should write about, if that makes any sense.
It does make sense. And you said that you write every day?
I write in the morning. So, like, I wake up. I don't write with a goal. I just write.
Okay.
So, like, it's just become a habit. I journal. You could say I journal. So I wake up in the morning, and I just have my coffee, and I write. I just write, and then, you know, I do a list because I can't remember what I need to do unless I write things down too. But that's how I start my day, is I just acknowledge kind of where I'm at, how I'm feeling, what's going on. And then that opens that whole channel so that, you know, when I pick up a guitar later in the day or something, and I'm writing, so, you know, I'm always thinking. Point is, I'm always, stuff is always flowing. So I might get a piece of an idea for something, and then it might come to me in 6 months when I'm working another song and go, oh my gosh, that little analogy, that lesson, that picture that I had in my mind, that poetic line, that now I can use it. So it's kind of, as long as you're writing, it's not getting lost. I just feel like it's getting tucked away somewhere in the depths of your mind, and when the time is right, you'll retrieve it. So you got to just keep getting it out.
So when you did the album Human that we're playing tonight, I know you talked about having, you know, a bunch of songs that you put together. Did you go to the time and expense of recording any of the songs that you thought were absolutely going to be on the album, and then after it was done, you said, you know, I like it, but this just doesn't fit?
There's actually one song. Funny you should ask that question. There was one song. We didn't get very far on it. It's called Follow You, and I love the song. But something about it just didn't fit in Human. It was kind of like I didn't need it. Like, you know, it was just perfect the way it is, and I thought, okay, I don't have to have this song on it. Just because I have another song doesn't mean that it has to be on the album. But I got as far as recording my vocals and my guitars and some harmonies. And then I went, yeah, you know what, maybe on the next album, or maybe just it'll be something else. It just...
It'll be in the archives, you know, for, you know, when you do your greatest hits, volume 50. And,
yeah,
you know,
the B-sides, if there is such a thing.
The B-sides, exactly.
So it's just, you know, I just figured why, you know, like, if it's just good the way it is, I don't have to add anything else.
There we go. Well, let's play two more. We're going to start out with track 8, which is What Will You Do? And then track 9, Don't Leave. And then we'll be back right after that. So everybody sit back and enjoy. And by the way, Kelly, who's our earlier caller, said that he's already bought the album and he's listening to it, and he is your newest fan. So you're already, you know.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
Thank you, Kelly.
Yeah. Right on. So here's What Will You Do?
I want to love you, call you more than I should. I want to go further than the distance. I want to say whatever's on my mind, my mind, my mind. Fall in love, take the pain and feel good. See my light, you got to feel my dark side. I'll make you laugh, but I might make you cry, cry, cry. Somebody said the hardest thing to do in this life is just to be yourself. And I hid my heart and I covered my soul for you. I was trying to be somebody else, but the truth was taking a stand, and it placed my heart in your hand. What will you do now?
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 We don't belong in any situation. Old world, new world, any generation. And even though you know we kept on trying, trying, trying to fit inside and walk in your straight line. But I would rather swing to the side. See, I ain't gonna run and I am not gonna hide, hide, hide. If somebody said the hardest thing to do in this life is just to be yourself without, hit my heart and I covered my soul for you. I was trying to be somebody else, but the truth is taking command, and I'm hoping
There we go. That's Don't Leave by Justin Eid, and his album is Human. We're playing an all-album Friday Night Dance Party live tonight, and we also heard What Will You Do back-to-back. So, Joseph, tell us about these songs.
So What Will You Do is just, you know, like you heard, it's just a song about being who you are and just kind of, you know, putting it out to everybody in your life and saying, what will you do now? You know what I mean? Now it's the ball in your court. I've told you how I feel. I've told you who I am. And how are you going to handle it? Are you just... And that's What Will You Do. Don't Leave is actually a song inspired by just actually a couple of friends who couldn't really stick around ever. I felt like they were moving cities once every 2 years. Like, they would move to a city or get comfortable, whatever, and then they feel like they have to leave. And even though it sounds like a love song, and I turned it into a love song, it was inspired by that. Just this thing of, like, when the weather gets a little stormy, people, instead of staying in the storm and waiting it out, waiting for the sun to come back, they just leave, but then the storm follows. And I love that song. It's one of my favorite songs on the album, especially because my very good friend Lisa Pollock, now Elsie Jones, she married a good friend of mine, Ryan Jones, and they're both singer-songwriters. They live in Nashville now, and she's a wonderful, wonderful singer, one of the best singers I know, actually, and a great songwriter. And it was just so fun having her on the album. We were able to get her parts recorded in Nashville and sent over here. So she also sings with me on It's Only Love, and we had a band together when she lived in L.A., which is where we met. So we had a band called September Stayed, and we used to sing those songs, among many others. So it's just it's great hearing her voice on that song.
So talk a little bit about your performing, because it sounds like, you know, for me, I always think that, you know, I always think of you as a rock star now. So I think of you like, you know, out on tour, you're, you know, selling out every place. What's the life of a rock star really like?
Well, it's not really that. it's an independent singer-songwriter lifestyle, which is basically do it all by yourself. Which is a ton of work, but it's so enjoyable. It doesn't matter, because you do that when you know you're doing what you want to be doing. It doesn't matter. But yeah, it's got tons of rewards that the work doesn't even register. But it's wonderful. My favorite part about it is meeting new people and connecting with people, and connecting with people in this way is just such a gift. You know, it really is. And I love, like, I did a 2-week tour in June. I did like a Northwest thing. I did it all on my own, booked all the shows myself. Went up the coast, all the way up to Seattle and back, and passed some beautiful towns and wine country and Bay Area, and Oregon, which is probably the state I would live in if I didn't live in California. I love it up there. And,
so can I ask you, just as a matter of business here, what's involved in booking a tour like that? I've never really ask the question of anybody, and how do you keep your voice healthy how do you train for that? So it's two parts. How do you do the tour, and then how do you prepare vocally to do something that's really strenuous like that?
It's a lot of, you have to have a few hats. The administrative part of it is definitely important, because you have to be super organized if you're going to do that by yourself, you know, and there's so many singer-songwriters in Los Angeles, it's like you kind of have to do it yourself, and you have to create your own buzz for any big labels or any big companies to ever be interested in you. And frankly, you may not even want to be with a label at this point in the business, because, you know, if you have one song go viral or something happen, you're kind of better off on your own, you know. But it certainly helps if someone believes in you, a big company, and wants to distribute your music and get it out there in a way that you never can. So when you do it yourself, you just have to be super organized. Like, I have this huge calendar in my kitchen, and I have to just start writing down the dates that I booked. You know, like, I just went online, found places, submitted myself. People that got back to me, we worked out, negotiated a thing, put it on the calendar, bang, now I know that date is set. And then you got to do your route and go, okay, well, I'm here that night, so I've got to go in this direction. So I've got to play a show 3 hours north of here, just all that stuff is, it's a lot of work. But it's kind of fun.
Did you find the clubs? I mean, because it sounds like you were very much kind of like a Sherlock Holmes in figuring out, okay, I got to play here and then there. And
kind of like my third year doing it, because I've been on the road with friends of mine, and we've all pitched in to find places. But there's a few websites out there, like booking websites, where you basically can plug in, like, the city that you're going to, and it will, like, list all the bars and pubs and music venues, so you kind of go through and see which one is appropriate for you. You know,
okay.
Which ones, like, have house concerts or whatever, house singer-songwriters, whatever. And there's also a website called Concerts in Your Home, which I belong to, which is a house concert website. And there's some people who throw house concerts, and they're very lucrative, actually, for singer-songwriters if you can get them. I actually just did one in Los Angeles a month ago, and it was wonderful. There's actually a live video of that, of the song Something Real on YouTube. So you kind of just, like anything in life, you learn by doing it, and you just have to do it. You have to go through the work, and then the next time you do it, it's a little bit easier. And there's that part of it, and the rewards, of course, is meeting new people every night, sharing your music, being in a different city. You've gotta like that lifestyle, because it's not for everybody. But I love playing out. Like, I really love playing live, so...
What was your biggest challenge for you being on tour? You know, if you said it's not a lifestyle for everybody, did you have anything that was really just tough for you going city to city?
Yeah, I think for me, even though I was fine most of the time, it's the fact that you're by yourself a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You're by yourself. I mean, you're with people, but you're not with anybody you know. You're with strangers every night. And you kind of really get to know yourself really well, and you have to be comfortable with hanging out by yourself. Like, if you always like to have people around, like friends and stuff, you can't really be alone. Touring's not for you, because
gotcha.
You'll get really lonely. So, but if you're the kind of person who likes to have your you time and just chill out, and are perfectly happy entertaining yourself in the car, which for the most part I am. You know, I mean, I was writing songs in the car and, you know, on the phone, or whatever. You find stuff to do, audiobooks, what have you. I miss my cat. You know, you just miss your bed, your cat, your routine. And I was only gone for like a little over 2 weeks, so it's not even like I was gone for as long as some people are gone for. But, you know, at least when you go on a big tour with a big name or something, you're with the same people every night, and there's other people that you bond with. But when you just do it on your own, it can be tough, because every night you're rolling into a new city, and it's just you, and it's like a new place and new people, and there's something thrilling about that. And at the same time, there's a slight, you know, the show's done, and you leave, and then you come back to that little motel room, and you're like, kind of all alone. So
I don't know if I could do that, though. You know, that to me, Joseph, just seems, that seems tough. Because, you know,
it's a sacrifice. For sure.
It is a sacrifice. Because it sounds like, you know, I always think when we talk about being on tour, you know, it's the roadies and it's the tour and it's the, you know, you're describing something that does not appear in the movies.
No. I mean, for a singer-songwriter like Troubadour, who's really just trying to make some money and trying to get their name out there, it's a lonely road, you know, and I think even in L.A., it feels lonely sometimes, because I spend a lot of time by myself because I have to do this. I spend hours working on new songs, practicing songs, getting ready for shows, what have you, doing my social networking, updating stuff on my Facebook, on my websites, those are all hours I'm by myself. There's not somebody there. You know what I mean?
You know, your legion of office staff back at your corporate headquarters.
Exactly. So then you have to make sure you schedule time to see your friends and go on a date or have a relationship or whatever. You know, you have to have a life, but unfortunately, like, if you really want to get stuff accomplished, you really need to put in the hours. And as a singer-songwriter and this artistic path, a lot of those hours are just you. Making it happen, you know. So, you know, tours are fun. I prefer to go on them with other singer-songwriters. That's what I've done for the last few summers, is I went with a couple of friends, and we split all the costs, we split the motel rooms, and we would do shows, like, where the two or three of us were playing the whole night, because some of these shows are 2-3 hours that you have to fill. So if there's someone else, then it's also easier on your voice. So I think the next time I go out on the road, I'll do it with a friend.
There you go. Well, let's... We do have another caller calling in, and I think this is one that you'll want to hear from. So I'm going to bring the caller on the line and welcome you to Rated G Radio.
Hi, I just have a question for Joseph. I just want to know what it was like after the tour was over. What it was like after the tour was over.
What was it like after? Well, it was a little depressing.
Were you depressed?
Actually. It was a little depressing, and I have a habit of kind of like having things end before they really end in my head, so that it doesn't like really hurt that much after. So I kind of make my peace with it before it's over. But yeah, that's kind of how. Absolutely. I was super depressed. In fact, my friends do know that, and I was kind of like a. Even though it's hard sometimes and it can be lonely and all that stuff, it's incredibly thrilling and fun, and you miss all that new sensation every day that you're getting, and then you come back to LA and you go, oh, I'm back here, and now I'm, you know, doing this and doing that and trying to make ends meet again, and I was a rock star for 2 weeks, and all I was doing was music, so, yes, absolutely.
Caller, do you have any other questions that you'd like to ask Joseph before we get back to his
What's
music
name,
tonight?
What's your name, caller?
My name's Dan.
Dan, thank you for calling in. Do you have any other questions for us?
No, I don't think I have any other questions.
Okay.
What are you doing tomorrow?
I'll call you later.
Yeah, you call you later. Everybody, that's been Dan Holguin, and Dan's been on the show as a musical guest in the past. So he's calling in to support Joseph, and we love that. So we're going to – we're running out of time here. So here's what we're going to do, Joseph. We've got to squeeze three more songs in and talk about them. So I'm going to play the Rock reprise right now, and then we're going to play The Greatest Lesson. We're going to save the last song, It's Only Love, to wind up the show. So here is The Rock, and we'll be back in just a second.
There were things on my mind, there were hearts on the line, there was so much I never told you. There were times that I tried, but I'd get so uptight when I wanted to hold you. So I held it all back like I always do. Like I got a brick wall around me, but with a chisel in my hand, I try to break through, but man, it's so hard for me. Don't look back, we'll make it. Don't look back, we'll make it. Times I let go and I should have said no, cause I never believed them. But I stood by and I let them lie, cause I wanted fit in, and I held it all back like I always do, like I got two hands choking me, like I know what to say and the words are there, but I just can't speak them. Don't look back, we'll make it. Don't look back, we'll make it. All these regrets and unpaid debts will only hurt me if I let them. So I'll strike this match, I'll burn this past, and I will forget them. And I'll take these days left and make them our best, take off our armor. We'll stand face to face, flesh to flesh, and let the truth disarm us. I'm gonna sit on your couch and let it all out, and I hope you'll hear me. And I hope it's not too late, I'm on my way back to you. And me. funny how leaves keep growing every year after the storm. Funny how life keeps rolling on. But we keep holding, we keep holding on. It's funny how that tree gets taller every year, it just gets stronger. But I keep holding, I keep holding on. It's funny how we try, it's funny how we try, it's funny how we try so hard. Funny how we cry. It's funny how we make it so hard. We're running now, my friends and I, chasing love, some just chase and fight. And the more we run, the more we fall behind. It's funny how we frown, we lay our battle ground. We don't back down. Don't put up a fight. It gives itself away to the dark.
Lesson. Of course, this is coming from Joseph Eid, who's our VIP special guest tonight. We're doing his entire album, Human. Now, Joseph, I need to tell you, as I bring you back onto the show here, that as soon as that song started to play, my dog Jennifer who doesn't usually come up and want to be in my lap during the show, she's like, I need to be up in your lap, and I need to be up here now. So she's up here listening to the show with me with the headphones. So I thought that was a little unusual. And she's, you know, she's looking at me now going, now, see, Papa, that was a good song. And I said, I know. Anyway.
They know. You know, I have a cat. My cat, Mango, he knows.
You know,
sometimes I'll be playing something, and then he gets on his back and just goes into this trance, and I go, okay, something is working here.
Exactly. So before the song and before Dan called in, I was asking you, how do you get your voice ready and train for really an Olympic event of singing for a marathon, for a tour?
Yes. Yeah. You know, that's a great question, because I've learned a lot from doing that, because you know, you think that if you sang for 3 hours one night, the next day you won't be able to sing, but it's quite the opposite. Your voice actually keeps getting stronger. And Roger Burnley, who's a great vocal coach here in L.A., and he's a good friend of mine, actually told me that fact. He said most people think that you know, you strain your voice, but if you're singing the right way, then your voice only gets better and stronger on these kinds of trips. And that's exactly what I experienced on the road. It was really kind of awesome, because I was paying attention to technique and making sure, you know, the kind of music I do, I'm not screaming. You know what I mean? I'm not banging, smashing guitars and screaming. So I understand if you do that, you do that kind of rock show, yeah, it's probably not the best way to sing. But for the most part, I think I'm singing with good technique enough to preserve my voice, and, you know, enough to let it go in the shows and not damage it. So that is definitely what I experienced. Is night after night, it was like, you know, my voice felt actually pretty open. I didn't have any problems, knock on wood. And it gave me the confidence to know that I could do something like this on a large scale and not have to worry, you know. And I think that's tribute to the years and years of experience and making mistakes and screwing up and going out drinking the night before and thinking I was going to be okay the next day and realizing that doesn't work. You know, and that's another thing, too.
Yeah.
Like, I made sure I went to sleep early enough. I got, you know, 7 hours of sleep at least. If I had something to drink, it was a beer after the show. You know what I mean? So you have to be mindful of that stuff, because what happens is if you start to drink, it's not like the singing messes your voice. It's like the screaming in the bar and the kind of like losing
the after
consciousness.
Singing.
Yeah, it's kind of like just not thinking about it. Because I'll go to a bar. I'll go out to a bar with my friends here, and I'll leave the bar and my voice is hoarse because
I'm
screaming
all
night. You know what I mean? So those are the things that you really have to make sure you're just being healthy when you're on the road, and you'll be okay.
So when you're not on the road, what kind of exercises do you do, or what kind of training do you do to keep yourself in peak shape performance? I mean, because I know that, you know, you probably don't just say, okay, I'm going to go sing a gig tonight, and, you know, you go and belt it out for 3 hours, and you do that three nights a week.
You vocalize. I mean, I don't know. For me, I feel like I do warm-up exercises before I sing every day. Some days, very few, I'm just lazy and I don't do it and I go right to singing, which is fine. You can't be like, you know, militant about it. But you try to do that. And I do warm up every day. You know, I try to get lessons and coaching and just kind of, you know, because like weeks will go by and, you know, you might fall into an old habit or something. So it's good to just go back and check in and make sure all your placement is good and everything. So, you know, you just kind of like are aware of that. And I think the best thing you can do for your voice is just sing every day, because the worst thing you can do is not sing, which will really weaken your muscle, you know, your vocal cords. So it's a habit that you're developing every day and getting stronger at. So I find that the weeks that I'm singing a lot is when, you know, I'm feeling the most open. That's why I try to play. If I don't have a scheduled show, I try to play on 3rd Street, the Promenade. I try to go to open mics. I try to play with friends. I try to play for whoever will listen.
There we go. Well, speaking of whoever will listen, just as we are going through the show tonight, several of you are pinging me on Facebook and saying, oh, my gosh, I've just downloaded the album Human And I love it, love it, love it. So if you like it and you've bought it tonight off of iTunes or wherever fine music is sold, make sure to tell your friends about it. What you're doing really is a couple things. Number one, you're getting some music that you are really, really going to love and cherish. These are songs that aren't just going to be, you know, like today's pop hit that's going to be on the charts for a week and then off. These are songs that will be timeless classics that you'll go back to and listen for years and years and years that you will love. But more importantly, they're going to speak to your soul and speak to your spirit. When something like this magically happens, the best thing that you can do is tell a friend and then tell another friend and be like that shampoo commercial, and they tell two friends and they tell two friends. And that will do so many things for them, so they will thank you later. But what you're doing for Joseph and independent music is helping support creative live, you know, I say live music, but, you know, people. You know, you're not supporting an empire. You're helping support somebody who does this as a passion. This is their living, and they're creating great works of art and music like Joseph is doing with his album Human. So when you go and press that buy button, so many other things happen that help him and the independent music industry as a whole. And so on behalf of all of you who are listening tonight buying Joseph's album, thank you. But keep doing that. If you can go out and listen to live music in your local community, wherever you're at around this country, do it. If they've got a CD and it's not $9.99 because, you know, somebody's throwing ad dollars behind it to, you know, inflate billboard numbers for the week, and it's a $20 CD or a $15 CD, spend the extra $5. Do it.
Absolutely.
You would feel better about it, and at the end of the night, you go and put, you know, you're going to hear that great music that that artist is going to sing, or, you know, you go see Joseph Eden play live here in the L.A. area. You're going to hear his music, hear the passion, hear the stories behind that, and then you're going and being able to take that magic with you, and you'll be able to continue to listen to that from now on until forever. Or, again, if you want to listen to it on iTunes, just click the buy button tonight. But go support your local artists and musicians. They really do depend upon your support to help make their livelihood possible. As we get ready to wind down, we've got about 3 minutes left, or really about 2 minutes left. So, Joseph, quick, I need you to tell us about It's Only Love. I want you to tell us a little bit about Greatest Lesson. And then from a social media standpoint and your plans for the rest of 2014, what can we expect?
All right. Greatest Lesson, which you guys just heard, I think last, is one of my favorite songs on the album. And, you know, it's just a song about letting go, really, and how in nature there's no resistance. You know, there's a line in that that says, I watched the last of the sunlight, and then how it gives itself to the dark, you know, and it doesn't put up a fight as it gives itself to the dark. And I feel like that's my greatest lesson, is to just basically go with the flow and accept things for what they are and know that if there's a dark phase that comes, it's going to be followed by light, and to trust in that, always trust in that, just like nature does. I'm going to be playing a show at Room 5 Lounge in Los Angeles on September the 7th. It's a Sunday evening. It's a night filled with wonderful singer-songwriters, and if you're in the L.A. area, please come check it out. Please say hello, and I'll have copies of my CD, physical copies, if you'd like one. I'll have them available there, and it's just a great night of local singer-songwriters. Also, just check the website. My website is josepheedmusic.com, and there's all the social media links are there. There's a show schedule there that's always up to date, so there's other shows that I have going on next month. Really fun stuff, night markets, da-da-da. And, you know, Twitter, it's Joseph Eed. Instagram, it's Joseph Eed Music. Facebook, Joseph Eed Music. You can always Google me. There's a couple of other Joseph Eads out there, but they'll find me. YouTube, like I said, there's a bunch of videos on there. Joseph Eed on YouTube, you'll see it. And I think that's all I can think of. But, yeah, definitely stay in touch. And, you know, thank you, Garrett, for just such a wonderful time tonight. You know, I had a really good time talking to you. And
I'll laugh with you about this, but one of the things that you were a little nervous about the show before is like 2 hours. There's not gonna we there, we won't And here we are. We're
2 hours.
We're squeezing the last song in. We're going to still be cutting a little bit of it off, and there's still so much to talk to you about. So hopefully we'll get a chance to have you back another time, Joseph, and have kind of like a part two with you. But everybody, it's been Joseph Eid. Go buy his album Human on iTunes tonight. You will love it. Go find him in person and listen to his live shows coming up.
And if you want a physical CD, sorry to interrupt, if you want a physical CD and you're not in the area, you can go to cdbaby.com and you can actually order a physical CD. You can order one on Amazon, too. I forgot to say that. Sorry.
That is a great way to do it because, you know, there are a lot of people that are out there that will tell me, they said, you know, that's fine for the download, but can't I get a real one? Yes. You,
mm-hmm.
you know, if you're
yes,
a CD collector, you got to have it. So there you go.
Yes,
everybody, this is Greatest. We just played that. It's Only Love by Joseph Eid. Last song of the night. Have a great evening. We'll be back Monday night with a poet, Jason Nino, will be joining us live on Monday night. Everybody else, have a great weekend, and we'll see you on Monday.
Bye.
All over the world, she was looking for love. She searched the sea, the sky, and all the stars above. But nobody told her love can never be found. It's like the sun, you see. It's all around. It's free, easy, and it's not some rare occurring thing lately. There's so much more I'm thinking of. It's only love. It's only love. It's only love. And he spent 7 years singing the blues. He convinced himself that no one would ever do. But life is a funny little thing, 'cause in the end he woke up deep in love with his best friend. So come on, get free. This ain't just about you and me, baby. There's so many friends I'm thinking of. It's only love. It's only love. A long hard day on the clock. It's in the smile in the eyes of the old guy sitting at the coffee shop. It's too small to fight.
You've been listening to Rated G Radio.